Let's read together Proverbs chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. Here in this first half of Proverbs 20, we have some more great proverbs with wise advice for everyday living. Now, for our background notes, let's consider verse 4 and why it seems to indicate that winter comes before harvest rather than summer comes before harvest. Verse 4, once again, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. So why does the proverb seem to indicate that winter comes before harvest rather than summer comes before harvest? Well, first of all, you will find that there are various translations of this verse. Well, here's where an understanding of the planting of winter crops in Israel gives us an understanding of all of these translations. The rainy season in Israel is during the winter months, and that's when you want to plow and plant your seed and crops so that you have a good spring harvest. The sluggard, however, is not only lazy, but he doesn't like being out in the fields during the cold, rainy season, and therefore he finds nothing to eat or sell at the time of the spring harvest. Let's move now once again to our doctrinal point for the Proverbs of Solomon. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. In this proverb, wine, which is made from grapes, and strong drink, which is made from grains, are personified to mockers and brawlers. That is what wine and strong drink can do to people who drink too much. They can't control themselves properly. Under the law, it is clear that drinking an alcoholic beverage was okay as long as it was in moderation. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. From Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26. What is condemned in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, is intoxication and drinking too much. That's wrong and not wise. Think of Noah and Lot, for example, in this connection. Verse 2. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. This proverb is very practical. Try to stay clear of the wrath of governing authorities. Now, this general truth does not mean that we compromise our Christian testimony. The good news here is that in general, the wrath of the king is directed against evildoers and thus keeps evil in check. I'm reading from Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. From Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. Who was on the throne when Paul wrote this letter, by the way? Nero, not Mr. Nice Guy, but still governing authority, keeping law and order. Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Did you ever notice how some people are always in an argumentative mood? They love to be in some kind of strife. They are not peacemakers. Stay away from those kind of people. To avoid wrangling is honorable from God's point of view. Verse 4, we looked at this proverb for our background notes. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In general, most people tend to be private with their thoughts and plans, like deep waters. So this proverb has more than one application. Young people who are wise will go to older folks and draw them out and learn much from their thoughts and experiences. And this proverb is also good advice for anyone involved in counseling. The job of a counselor is to wisely draw out the thoughts and plans of the one who needs counseling. Verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Goodness here is the Hebrew word hesed, which can be translated loyal love. It's easy to find folks who claim to be characterized by loyal love and faithfulness, but to find someone who really practices what they claim is not easy. This proverb is quite convicting, isn't it? Verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I took my 7-year-old grandson on a hike in the snow. Well, because the snow was deep, I told him to follow me by walking in my footsteps, which he did. And we had a great hike together. Well, I've since thought of the spiritual lesson here for fathers and grandfathers, which we have in this proverb. Once again, verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. In the words of an old poem, a careful man I've got to be. A little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the self-same way. Verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. In the ancient world, the king would also judge, and a righteous king would see to it that evil and wickedness were removed from his kingdom. Well, when we read this proverb, it's hard not to think of our Lord as the righteous king and judge. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes burned like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. From Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. The idea in his eyes like a flame of fire is his piercing judgment of sin, as we have in this proverb of Proverbs 20, verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. Verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Now, verse 9, we'll come back to in our practical application. Verse 10, diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Now, let me ask you, if you sell your used car to someone for more than it's worth, is that cheating? According to this scripture, it is an abomination before the Lord. So whether it's by newspaper or by eBay, God expects his people to be 100% honest in business dealings. Verse 11, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Deeds reflect character, especially in children who have not yet developed the tricks of the trade to hide their true character. The good news here is that when you see the positive traits of purity and righteousness emerging in a child's life, this is evidence that the child is on the right track to bring glory to God throughout his or her life. And we who are parents and grandparents and teachers should do all we can to develop and strengthen those good character traits in children. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Now, the point of this proverb is not just that God created hearing and seeing, but that these important senses are to be used for God's glory. We are responsible to use our ears and eyes to please God. Do we? What percentage of what we looked at or listened to in the last 24 hours would have to be scratched off the pleasing to God list? Verse 13, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. This proverb reminds us what we had back in Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 11. Let's read those verses once again. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. From Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 11. So the point of Proverbs 20, verse 13, is not that we should hate sleep and not get a good night's rest or sleep a little extra on Saturday mornings. No. The point is that we should not overindulge in sleep or be sleeping when we should be working to earn our bread. Verse 14, it is good for nothing, cries the buyer, and when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Now, as you know, in the next 2 weeks, some of us here today will be traveling in Egypt, Jordan, and Israel. A lot of haggling or bargaining will go on in the marketplaces to get some good deals or gifts to bring home. And I dare say some tourists will boast about the low prices that they were able to get, and other tourists will get ripped off. In any case, the point of this proverb seems to be a balance to what we have in verse 10. That is, in business, we should sell at fair prices and be willing to buy at fair prices. Verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Gold and rubies certainly have their value, but how much more valuable to have lips of knowledge, knowledge obtained from the Word of God. Now, the good news here is that you can have that valuable knowledge if you're willing to spend more time in God's Word. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Let's go back to verse 9 for our practical application for this first half of Proverbs chapter 20. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Practical application from the first half of Proverbs 20. Praise God, Proverbs 20, verse 9 is not the end of the line. Praise God, Proverbs 20, verse 9 is not the end of the line. The implied answer for the question in this proverb, Proverbs 20, verse 9, is no one. That is, no one can say their heart is clean and that they are pure from their sins. But praise God, this is not the end of the story. This is not the last word revealed in the Word of God. In His grace, God has provided salvation in Christ, whereby we can have our hearts made clean and be made pure from sin. And this gift of salvation is obtained by simply believing and receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Praise God, Proverbs 20, verse 9, is not the end of the line.